It's always very nice in our life when we can touch that sacred dimension. So we will say a few prayers. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shri Go Bhaktavinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. If you know how to chant it, please join me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yesterday we announced that today we will hear a little bit of the history of the kirtan in this world. Actually, if we trace back the history of kirtan, we will come to the 6th century of this world, very early, where we meet the historically documented Alvas. These were God-intoxicated saints who would praise the Lord through their kirtans. There are stories circulating about these first kirtan performers. For instance, once one Alva who was wandering through the countryside on pilgrimage to Ranganath looked for a shelter in the night. It was a stormy night. So one farmer provided him with a little shack that was built next to his house where he lay down. There was storm and lightning that night, and the rain was pouring down. All of this sudden, this pilgrim in this shack heard a knocking at the door, and there was a second person saying, "Oh, it's so wet outside, it's storm, can I join?" And immediately the first one said, "Oh yes, well, there's place for one person to lie down. The check was so small, one person only could lie down. There's certainly place for two people to sit up." So he was welcomed in. They were leaning against the back and they dozed off as the rain and thunder outside continued. Then towards the early morning, let us say perhaps 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock or so, they heard a knocking. There was a third pilgrim who requested if he could find shelter in the shack, and both of them said, "Where there is place for two to lean against the wall, there is certainly place for three to stand up." So they welcomed him in, and then the morning, I mean, after some time, I don't know how to sleep in standing, but there must be a way when one is really tired. So when the morning sun rose, one of these saintly persons started to sing a kirtan. The translation of the kirtan is like this. Oh my Lord, this world is like a lamp. My devotion is like a wick. You know, that thread in an oil lamp which you burn. And the sun of your glories, that is the flame. So we offer this whole world like a lamp towards you. And as he was singing this devotionally inspired kirtan, all the other two began to sing along somehow. No, wait, it's not that they sang along. They showed symptoms of ecstasy. They had tears in their eyes. They had ecstatic horripilation of the skin. That means in in our modern language, it's goose flesh, you know, or goose pimps. And then, after the first verse had been chanted, the second person composed a second verse which was as beautiful as the first one, and then the third person composed the third verse. And this is a very famous kirtan in South India. Perhaps one day we will sing it. And it shows what we had touched yesterday, how kirtan is really not just group singing. It is singing imbibed with devotional feelings, devotional ecstasies. So there are many stories of these early alvas. They left us with altogether, listen to this, 475,000 kirtans. they are called, it's an anthology, the Diva Pravandam, and it has these devotional expressions. We move onwards. This was very early in our time calculation. One of the Alvas was a king, King Kula Shikar. He was often quoted by my own spiritual master, who would sing when he was behind closed doors in this kirtan. Krishna Tvadiya Pada Pankancha Panjaratam. Then the last syllable, his voice would go down as if diving into the depths of the ocean. Krishna Tvadiya Pada Pankancha Panjaratam. I myself heard him singing this when I was fortunate enough to see that there was no noise before his door. And so then there are other saints in Maharashtra who sang kirtan. That's around in the 13th century up to the 16th century. They were really I will introduce to you Namadeva was his name. He was a kirtan singer, my God. There are actually no written lines of his kirtans, not completely written. Some were quoted by memory. He would spontaneously appear in some village. He would then, without any previous composition, start to sing in the most beautiful poetry. And the people of the village came and looked at him. It was a performance to see Namdev dance, my dear, everyone, and sing. That was better than the Rolling Stones, you know. That was something. The whole village came. Then Namdev, in the midst of the kirtan, stood still and said, "Let us all dance!" And everyone got up, and they were singing. In the song, he would compose lines. "We are dancing with the joy of kirtan, children of God." You know, like this. They were totally ecstatic. An observer said, "When Namdev chants his kirtan, we can see the god Pandurangam dancing in front of the whole kirtan go." There were moments when Namdev had the feeling there was no divine presence felt in his kirtan, and at that time he would implore him, "Why doesn't your form come for my contemplation today? Why do you keep yourself absent? Why do you insist to be so distant?" These were the ecstatic kirtan singers. There's, of course, Tukaram in this group of Maharashtrian saints, he was such a kirtan performer that kings would come to his nightly performances of kirtan. The whole villages would sing and take their drums, the dolak drum. And it is said during his last kirtan ended with him singing out, "Tukaram's voice is now fading away. I hope it gave you pleasure, my Lord." And at that moment, everyone saw a divine, mystical airplane. It's a vimana, you know, not something made of the matter of which we observe here, nor of the matter of fantasy stories. It was a divine chariot, and four brilliant personalities who were definitely not of this world came and took Tukaram into this transcendental vehicle and brought him to the spiritual world. There's a place where pilgrims go where this happened, Tukaram's last kirtan. One eyewitness of these kirtans said, "When Tukaram repeated the names of God in a loud voice, he would sometimes interrupt his kirtan and speak to his audience, moved by feelings of love. In these kirtans of Tukaram, all illusions were gone. What remained was the Lord Vithoba." That's one of the many names. "His close friend, whose name he was singing." The tradition continues, and I will go a little bit fast here. And will arrive in the 15th century. At the times of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is seen as the father of the modern kirtan movement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was clearly a revolutionary. At that time of his appearance, it was a troubled time. India was largely ruled by foreign invaders, the Moguls, and later the Arabic rulers who wanted to stifle or put out the what they considered the Hindu beliefs. They wanted to convert everyone by force, into Muslims to better rule the country. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and he spread the chanting of the name of the Lord as the fastest path to reach full enlightenment. He was strangely opposed by his own people, the Brahmana caste, who held that only someone who's born in the family of Brahmanas can have access to the corpus of the Vedic scriptures and practices. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu widened the scope. He broke all limitations, and he started his kirtans first in a small enclosed place, that's the house of one of his devotees. But then, when he felt the devotees were strong enough to deal with opposition, he took his devotees right onto the streets, right before the eyes of the Muslim invaders, right before the government capital, which was in Goda, where it's described millions of people were joining in his kirtan. So the ruler said, they know this is forbidden to sing and dance with the names of a different god than Allah. You know, he had this illusion that there are many gods. To sing different names than the names of Allah in my kingdom is forbidden by capital punishment. But these people show no fear. They dance and chant in abundance. So this king, it is reported, he said, who's paying them? If I want anything to be done in my kingdom, I need to pay people. But it seems here's this prophet, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he seems to pay in coins of ecstasy. People, in other words, who take to his process are become ecstatic human beings. So the force became unstoppable, my dear everyone, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtans did come from the level of the soul. The soul, as you all well know, cannot be stopped even at the time of death. It just leaves the troubled physical body and continues on. For the soul, there is neither birth nor is there any death. Nor can it be burned by fire or hurt by iron weapons. It is transcendental. And this spiritual force was something that was too much for the Muslim invaders. They couldn't deal with this. There was nothing to impose it. So therefore it is said that the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received wide acclaim even by the Qazi. Qazi means the local Muslim governor. He in fact joined the kirtan, and we find many, many historical evidences how those who came in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan movement were turning into ecstatic lovers of God, no matter in what religious denomination they found themselves, because they soon began to understand that the chanting of God's name transcends Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, etc. Some scholars claim that the mystical tradition within Islam, the Sufism, received great strength by coming in contact in India with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan movement. I am not a scholar, but what? But a few days ago, we had here a festival where we invited all kinds of spiritualists, and there was one scholar of Sufism, and he said that once Muhammad, the founder of the Islam faith, was in a way you can say confronted, or you know, asked repeatedly, Muhammad, there are so many rules and regulations in this religion. I don't know how to keep this up, you know. I don't even know how to eat any longer or move. For everything, there are 20 rules. The Muhammad says, well, forget about all these rules and remember one rule. Keep your mouth wet with the chanting of God's name. So some scholars say that this ideas came into Islam through the Sufis, who had ample contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's one documented two documented contacts I'm aware of. One is documented in an ancient work called Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yes, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as the father of the modern kirtan. He took to the streets. He chanted songs like Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govindaram Shri Madhusudan. He also introduced the kirtan, which he considered to be the most effective for this age of Kali. He quoted the Srimad Bhagavatam, who says, Kirtana Deva Krishnasya. The kirtan of Krishna's name can lead to liberation from all your inner obstacles, mukta sangha param vrajet, and it can bring you swiftly to the supreme goal. They would sing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees would sing all day, and people of Navadvip were amazed. The people in the town where he was, they were amazed. We hear, they got together and said, what type of conduct is this haughty dancing? We can't sleep after dinner. It's so loud. Can't one earn merit by reciting Krishna's names slowly and softly? What good is this dancing, weeping, and yelling? You know, it was clearly an ecstatic movement. But soon, everyone began to join. The eyewitnesses said the initially reserved attitude of the people of town changed, and they would sing, let's all join! Sing Naam Kirtan! Let us take up drums and cymbals, and our loud singing will be surely melodious. There's no problem. This is called Naam Sankirtan, chanting the names of the Lord, that washes like a powerful flood all the material, how would you say, limitations in the heart. The force of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan, I have to, you know, I have so many notes that I'm drowning in notes, but I want to be very practical, is very easily described in the Bhagavad Gita. There in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna a few very important questions that become, so to say, the red thread on which the sacred text of the Bhagavad Gita is organized. His questions and Krishna's answer built the main body of the text, or the entire body of the text. So Arjuna finds himself in a very great existential crisis. As you all know, he is on a battlefield, the greatest battlefield the world has ever seen, much bigger in dimensions than all which you have seen, either in documentaries of World War or on your Netflix series. This was millions and millions of people. They were all warriors who had arrived there. Battles at that time were not done. Civilians were left out of the whole stories, but the warriors were really battling it out. And Arjuna was the main player on the Pandava side, on one of the sides. And there he was the general, and he asked to be taken out to the battlefield to just inspect the field, you know, battling is an art, you know, in those old times with so many formations, and to also study who had come to oppose him. When he looked, he saw peoples who were his relatives on the other side. He knew that this was a fratricidal war. Do you know the translation into your local language of fratricidal war? For the German speaking, ein Bruderkrieg. Das war in der gleichen Dynastie, dieser Krieg. It was the same family was battling each other. He knew that, but when he saw his venerable teacher who had taught him so many things, when he saw his great grandfather on the other side, when he saw his cousins, he had a breakdown. He said to Krishna, I can't do this, you know. How can I kill those with whom I grew up? However, the circumstances were just so, the political maneuvers were so mean it was very complex and complicated. Let's not get into this. So he was overwhelmed by very strong feelings. He had a nervous breakdown. A burnout is nothing in comparison to what Arjuna went through. His nerves were on flame. And he said to Krishna, Krishna, you asked me to control my mind. You have taught me the art of yoga. But I'm so overwhelmed at this moment by my feelings that to try to control the mind seems to be as difficult for me as to control a raging storm. My dear everyone, can you relate to this? Are you sometimes also overwhelmed? Things get so tough out there, or so complicated, or so super romantic, or anything, that feelings seem to are stronger than our rational mind, and we do things which we later regret, or we even sometimes worse, we can't do anything at all. We are just numbed. I think we all know I think many, many people are constantly in this state because they have not yet awoken to their spiritual potential, and therefore they are numbed by their mind and their emotions. So Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna, how can I control the mind? And he asked Krishna, do you have a practical path for me? And at the end of the chapter, it's called the Yoga of Meditation, this chapter, Krishna gives him one way. He says, yoginam api sarvesham matgantena tamatmana. Of all yogis who have learned to control their mind by constant practice and by detachment, of all the yogis, one who always abides within me, who rests in me, by rendering transcendental loving service, he is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. So he says, by this bhakti yoga, you can rest in him, you can imbibe in him, you can be in his presence, and then it's no problem to control the restless mind. The question is, what does the highest yogi do precisely? And Krishna answers this. He says, satatam kirtayantumam. Kirtayantumam. The word kirtan comes from the syllable kirt. Satatam kirtayantumam yatantaschadridavrataha. These highest yogis are always chanting my glories in kirtan. They endeavor with great determination by going to the Radhadesh Ketan course. No, that's not in the text. So they always engage in kirtan. They endeavor with determination. They bow down and they constantly worship me with devotion. This is the idea which we heard yesterday, the heart of kirtan. That which gives life to kirtan is this highest of yoga, the bhakti yoga, where you chant in a form, you could say, in a relationship with Krishna. Huh? That is devotional chanting. That helps you to rest, to become free of the restless mind. What this means, now, this all was theory. Let's be practical. We are in a kirtan course. We need to have some takeaways here. You will get two takeaways at this session. The first is, when you do kirtan, you just need to make sure that you practice a very, very simple yoga exercise. The kirtan yoga exercise. As you do kirtan, you will see that the material mind will become restless and it will go to other subjects. Sometimes you might even say, I had people come to me and said, Satchinandan Swami, Mr. Swami, you said this kirtan is good for controlling the mind, but what I notice is that my mind becomes even more turbulent. I remember things from 20 years back. I become more so sensitive. I understand how someone really meant their words when they spoke to me that other day. I become very, very absorbed in my thoughts. And I say, always good. This is the start. That you begin to see that the mind does its own thing. It's like a horse, which does not always want to stay within the place which is given to it, but jumps out. I remember I had this horse. My horse was Maximilian. That was his name. I called him Max, and when he was a good horse, I called him Maxi. So this Maxi, mostly he was very nice, but he was just so temperamental. He would always jump out of the place where the horses were kept, and we always had to find him somewhere and give him apples to be willing to cooperate with me so that I could ride him. Maxi was a freedom lover like I was at that time. So I couldn't be angry at him. But he would have his own will. He would go everywhere, and even places he was not supposed to go, like in town. People called us, he's in town, he's galloping over the road and making noise. So this is the mind. He's like Maximilian, always going somewhere. This is not good for him. So when kirtan is happening, do this one thing. When the mind goes, bring it back into the fire of kirtan, the center of kirtan. I always even like to sit close to where the action goes on. Then it's easier for me to absorb the mind in the repeated calling out of the names of the Lord. And this will be like a powerful fire that burns the material tendencies of the mind, so that only the spiritual tendencies are left. This is the kirtan yoga. You bring the mind back from wherever it wanders due to its restless nature, and you bring it to the sound vibration, and then, have the sound vibration work on it, and it's the sound vibration of Krishna's name which will purify it. There are two ways of chanting the names. One is japa, and that is silently for yourself. Or like this, very softly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I love it. And the other is singing. Now of the two, this kirtan is more powerful. Because for japa, the silent chanting on your own, you require a somewhat pure mind, otherwise you can't focus. For kirtan, even when the mind is not pure, the sound vibration, the accumulated sound vibrations of everyone being there, that will purify their mind. Therefore, kirtan is a preferred sadhana or spiritual practice, even to japa. No, it's easier. In japa, you need a pure mind. In kirtan, you don't need a pure mind to start, because the purity of the names will purify your mind. However, you must do this one thing. You must bring the mind where the kirtan is. Therefore, this is the only real rule in your kirtan. Bring the mind, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back, bring it to the sound vibration, and let the sound vibration vibrate, purify the whole thing, and you will taste the taste of nectar very soon. Good. I want to end now. So what were we doing? We were tracing the history of kirtan as it came down to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was many at his time, the kirtan blossomed everywhere, on all kinds of religions also. Kirtans developed as a main practice of coming together and glorifying by mutual song the Supreme Lord. Now, of course, we, as you know, I'm a monk. I think you will forgive me to say this at the end. I don't think there is a historical beginning of kirtan. We hear in our tradition that the kirtan came actually from a place beyond this world. The kirtan comes from a more than human dimension. It comes from the spiritual world where the liberated souls sing the names of the Lord. And there, in sacred scriptures, there are many evidences of this, but I don't want to go at this lecture there, because it's very transcendental, very beyond everything. I want to just be a little bit within what happens in this world, because I do not know each single one of you and how interested you are in these details, so I will not go there. So what I want to do, however, is I want to sing a kirtan with you. Actually, Gaur Krishna, I see you have the small harmonium, or you have the big?
It's not in tune with the...
It's not...
In Ragini, but I hear the big one.
Okay. Let me ask Manu, is it possible to make online kirtans, like I sing and then everyone sings? Is it technically possible, or is it, there's always this little delay. Please tell me.
We can try ours, but it tends to be quite complicated on Zoom.
Yeah, I remember that, yes. Yeah, it's not enjoyable. Let's not do it, Gaur Krishna, let's not do it, because you also have the evening kirtan in the temple, and when we do a Zoom kirtan, that is really 10% of what you can experience, so why do this? You can go in the evening kirtan, that's better. Good. But I will still do a little exercise with you. See, what you have heard from me today and yesterday clearly goes beyond singing with a voice, accompanying yourself with a harmonium, with karatals, and with madanga drums. This is an inner dimension of kirtan. No? I'm speaking to you not of the body of kirtan, which is what we can see, the singing, see and hear, the singing, the instrumental accompaniment. I'm speaking to you more of the heart of kirtan, that which gives it life, that which gives it expression, that which gives it spiritual electricity, so to say, or like this. So I would like to end this, because it's perhaps the last time where I see some of you in this life. I hope not, but this is the last class of the two. I want to give you something which I consider in my own life as the heart of Kirtan. Yesterday, Ananta Gauranga has introduced me in very kind words. He has said how I organize Kirtan events all over the world and things like this. I mean, no gentleman likes or wants to be praised, because we know these are gifts that are given to us, opportunities, possibilities. But there's something I feel very strongly about, is there is kirtan and there's kirtan. There's external kirtan, which doesn't satisfy us spiritually, and which has its limits. It's like a music performance. And then there is inspired kirtan, which can go on every day for hours. You can just sing and sing and sing in between what you're doing, because you are carried by the spirit of kirtan. And I know that you have very good teachers in Radha Desh in regards to the instruments, and yes, there's also a theoretical teachings. I have heard that a very good teacher will come perhaps tomorrow, Mrigenda Prabhu. So I will leave you with what I consider my treasure, or what I can give. The spirit of kirtan happens when you enter into sambandha. Sambandha is a Sanskrit term. It means a level of awareness where you are connecting with the supreme. Let me just drink a little water there. I sing a lot of kirtan, but I'm now an useless old man. My voice is not so good any longer, so I need some water from time to time. Sambandha, your awareness leaves the small little mindset, the small little world. You become aware that I'm truly an eternal part of God. Yes, I have these social roles to play. Yes, now I'm in a male or female body. Now I'm a German, now I'm a Chinese, now I am an English man with a stiff upper lip. Now I'm this and that. But these are only the stories around me. I am my true self is not defined by these external roads. So you in sambandha, you become aware of this. I'm singing, let the real me sing now, beyond all these roles, and let me sing to the real you, the eternal you, the enchanting divine Lord. Let me sing to you. And this, with these two poles, self and supreme self, a certain connection starts that defines the kirtan space, that defines whether kirtan is good or not good. Therefore, you can see many times in temples, there's always a sacred focal point. That's the altar. The idea here is to enter the actual kirtan zone, which is the connection between the individual self, the true self, and the supreme self. That connection gives the true spirit of the kirtan experience. That's the true idea of it. So I really request you, if you intend to take part this evening in the kirtan, to try this. If I would be with you, I would now do a meditational exercise, but somehow I have not trust in this computer work, that the immediacy and the spirit and the actual experience can happen through these filters, you know, that the technology is it is helping us in many ways, but it is also filtering away many more subtle things. Yes, so I will encourage you to do this exercise on your own. Please, as you are participating in the kirtan this evening, please establish the conscious relationship to the altar. Maybe Manu or you can actually guide everyone in this sambandha this evening. You can say, okay, we are sitting here, now let us focus a little, you know, let us look in front and let us express through our singing something that is in our heart, something devotional to the Lord on the altar. I think it will be a wonderful experience for all of you. Or if you are not leading the kirtan, Manu, maybe you can tell whoever leads the kirtan, let us say Ananta Gauranga or Surabhi. I do not know how you have organized this evening or how you will organize it. Yeah, so this is a little bit the gift of the monk, sambandha. It can help you to enter the kirtan zone where miracles happen. Yeah. Not just during the kirtan, but also outside the kirtan. Good, everyone. I thought we leave the last half hour open for questions, and according to my time, we are really punctual today. I don't know what happened. let me see now if you have any questions, and we must do it again like last time. I don't know, Ananta Gauranga, are you here?
Yeah, we'll do it the same way like
this. Yeah, there you are. I'm sorry, I didn't see you at all. I did not see your joyful smile. Okay, so please, this is our time to just interact a little bit more personal.
This question is from Subhadra, who's in the back there in the green shirt.
Let me one moment, Subhadra. I can't see so well, so in the green shirt. Would you mind to raise your hand? There, okay, Subhadra, I have it. Yes. Yes, please, what is the question?
Her question is in regard to how we hear that kirtan is not only singing, but also speaking to glorify the Lord and the Holy Name. And in the kirtan, because you mentioned about saying something during the kirtan, having a guided meditation, if you could say something about
the value of speaking something during the kirtan to further glorify the holy name.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As we have heard yesterday, the word kirtan comes from this Sanskrit syllable, or it's called the root syllable, a kirt, and it means to make mention of, to praise, to glorify. Often the word is used to magnify something, like a magnifying glass does. So you take something out of, you take something and you bring it into people's attention, and then you magnify it. I remember Ludwig Wittgenstein, who said, "The limit of your language is the limit of your world. That what you cannot, in other words, what is not expressed, does not really exist. Only when you make mention of something and talk about it and bring it into the attention, then, according to this linguist Ludwig Wittgenstein, it enters into existence and into your awareness. So yeah, therefore, kirtan is everything that brings the awareness towards the ultimate things, you know, the Krishna and so on. Kirtan, a part of kirtan is singing about, but it also can mean drawing an image of Krishna and making him visible in that way, putting him on a t-shirt to speak, give a modern thing. That is everything which magnifies his presence, which brings him into the awareness and magnifies him, is kirtan. Of all the various forms of kirtans, however, which are there, printing a book, speaking, the kirtan where you use instruments and music is considered to have the greatest effect. What I find out when I am invited to give kirtans, I really do two things first. I tune in my audience because I know they have just come from so many things. You know, I've seen people who came to kirtan programs with guns in their pockets. They wanted to shoot themselves afterwards. I mean, they have so many things in their mind. Maybe a person comes to the kirtan who just had a terrible quarrel with his wife, and now there is the question of divorce in the air. So it will be very difficult for people who just enter the kirtan to just immediately zoom into the kirtan. So I always do something which is which I call to tune in. I will make a connection with my it's not my audience, it's with those who attended the kirtan. I will welcome them. I will express my appreciation that they are there. I will express what we will do now. Our life has become simple now. We will only sing and hear. That is what we will do now for the next 1 hour, 1.5 hours, or however long, or for the entire event, you know, that goes on. And I might read something about Krishna, so that they know a little bit about whose name they sing, or that this is spiritual singing, or like this. No, it's meant to tune in the audience. Many kirtan leaders don't do this. They trust that people will find their find themselves and find their way. That's also all right. It's not that this is a must and must be done, but personally, I do these other forms of kirtan, bringing the attention to Krishna. No? How do you like this? The limits of your language is the limit of your world. You can see that sometimes people who talk only about football from morning till evening, and they have not much knowledge about, I don't know, literature or anything. They are only aware of this, and that's enough for them. That's their world. It's okay, you know. I'm not speaking about those who like football amongst me. I'm speaking about this typical crowd of football lovers, football fans, you know, who only exist for this. They only speak about it, and they know a lot about this field. Oh, they can talk. Ooh, it blows your mind if you are layman, so complex. But it's the limit of the world. And you know, have you ever been in this situation? You talk about spiritual things, and the person just looks at you. I have no idea what you are talking now. Really? No idea? You've never heard something like this? No, it's not on TV. You know, like, oh, let me tell you, there are many, many things which are not on TV. So kirtan is the idea of bringing something that is out of our domain, out of our experience, out of our daily thought, and bring it here, that is the Lord, and magnify him, make him big, and bask in his presence. That is a very spiritual, very wonderful. So speaking does that also. But really, when you speak, people will, you know, people have different tastes. You may say something which is not their taste. They might even feel offended at times. So therefore, because we are different, someone likes oranges, another likes strawberries, you know. And when you enter the realm of words, you never know if they like your words and your concepts. So singing is so harmless. So, I mean, I have seen people sing along in kirtan who would not agree to philosophy at all because it transcends all this. So singing is very, very good. So, Bhadra, I hope I have answered your question. To some degree of
yes, thank you.
Yes. Okay. Who else? Yes, I see someone, but I can't hear a word you say. So please, yes. That's Tanya, isn't it? Tanya, yes, Tanya. What? It was a fly. It was not a question. Okay.
Thank you.
Maharaj, Tanya is asking if you could share about your first interaction, your first experience with Kirtan. And she's also wanting to know about your first, like, the first deep experience you had with Kirtan and what you did afterwards to be as close with your service to the Holy Name as you are now.
I have very often told this story that when I was very young, we had my mother took me into the town of Hamburg to buy birthday presents for my older brother, and she thought I could help her choose the presents. And it was only one day before his birthday, so we really had to get presents. We went into this department store, but before we went in, there were devotees doing kirtan outside. I remember it was cold, it was snow, and so on. And I was mesmerized. I was small, perhaps 14 years or 13 years old. I was mesmerized. I remember I requested my mother, can we please stay and hear? And she stayed, but after a few minutes she said, we really have to go, you know. No, tomorrow is birthday and there are still so many things to be organized and we have to get the presents. So reluctantly I went with my mother up to choose some presents. But in the midst of it, I thought, there are these people singing. They're so interesting. So I told my mother, I have to go to the toilet. Can I please go to the toilet? And then she said, okay, then you go down to these people downstairs. Mothers always know. I will. You know, I had picked already two presents. I got the idea. I will pick, I will meet you down there. Don't go anywhere else than with these people. So I quickly ran down, I very much. I was just standing there. I was very shy because they were dressed differently than I was accustomed to. And I was in the back just watching. And I became so curious. What are they singing? So at one stage when they made a small pause, I took all my courage and asked them if they could write down, please, the song, you know. And one of them spoke broken German and took a piece of paper and wrote down the mantra. And a little later, my mother came already, and we lived a little outside of the town, like half an hour by S-Bahn from the center of town. And yes, I was having that slit of paper. That was my first meeting with Kirtan, my first Kirtan experience. I will not tell you now, because it was when I was very, very afraid, and really afraid. And I remembered I had that slit of paper, and I sang throughout the entire night this song. I started perhaps at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I chanted until the sun went up, and I lost all my fear. I remember that. But my real deepest experience of Kirtan was when I came to Mayapur in India, and there were many devotees, a few hundred devotees, singing Kirtan, and I was singing along, And all of a sudden, as I was singing, I came into what I call now the kirtan zone. I was no longer so much connected with my self, with my body. I was clearly beyond this. I remember I had been very. It was one of my first times in India, and I was suffering from the heat. I was not accustomed to this tremendous heat which was there in March. And oh, it was really unpleasant, because the heat can be, when it's damp, you know, when it's wet, the air is wet, and then so hot. But I had entered the kirtan, I was tired, I was exhausted, I was plagued at that time by dysentery. I don't know if you know what you can't digest your food properly, and it leaves you in a rather embarrassing way. And I was there in the kirtan, and all of a sudden my physical and mental discomfort disappeared totally. I saw the atmosphere, that everything was okay the way it is. I felt a joy I had never known before in this life. I felt a sense of timelessness, that this is beyond time. You know, I thought I was already, I was always in that space, and I'd never left it. I was, it was, I don't know, this is called what, eternity is a feeling of time which we don't have in this world. It's just ever present. So that was very, very remarkable. I remember I danced very joyfully, and many, all of those, there will be, I was all of a sudden in the center of everyone dancing. I had not gone there on my own, but then I thought, well, I should not dance alone. I should not be alone like this. I don't like to be in the center. Somehow I could feel that what I felt came to the people also. And we chanted and danced for a very, very long time. And a moment in eternity is also eternal, you know. So since then, these moments have come in kirtan, have returned. I like to keep them for myself. Somehow I feel it is not proper to show these things in public and make a public display of it. But this is why I say there is a rule. But of course, my mind wanders like I have a very creative mind. I have very, very many things in my mind. So therefore, I'm just recommending that verse of the Gita: bring the mind back from wherever it moves. Tanya, that's how it will start in your life also. I think we all had wonderful kirtan experiences, but they come really easier to us when we are somehow willing to bring the restless mind into the kirtan zone, so to say. Then it's wonderful things happen, and they have this nature of being, they have a private nature to themselves. You like to keep them a little bit private. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thank you for your question. It made me remember my first real kirtan. The other one, which I told you about when I was so afraid, it happened. I mean, I was out of my brain. I was so afraid, and I remember to keep me from becoming insane with fear, I just will keep with this mantra. My friends were all meditating and with different mantras, so I had this one mantra, and I was so I have to correct myself. One of my friends was meditating, my best friend, and he had told me that mantras have this power, and I kept with the mantra which that monk had written down on a piece of paper at that time. But I was really afraid, and I was very new to this practice, so I just sometimes dropped out of it, and then I was with my fear again, and then dropped into the space with the mantra. If I would tell you what I was afraid of, you would be so scared, you would run out of the window. It was really bad. But maybe when we meet privately and you like, but I will not tell it before you go to bed. Good. Anything else? We have 7 more minutes. I can see you are not at the moment having a question. That is also all right. It was a genuine joy for me to be with you. A genuine joy. It's so enlivening. I spoke yesterday with Ananta Gauranga because I needed to officially congratulate him for his sacred marriage. So I spoke to him, and he also shared with me what we all feel. It is you seemed these kirtan courses, they are so nice because they are still intimate. We don't have the whole world in the kirtan course. It's always nice groups which come together, and they're limited space because we have limited teachers and limited instruments, and you should all learn the instruments. I would like to just leave you with a thought. See, most of you are doing something now which you don't do regularly. You are learning kirtan, you are present in the you're learning instruments which you have not known that before. You are in an environment that is very different from where you live, because Radhadesh is a unique environment. The castle, the guest house, the bakeries, and the college, everything is a quite unique setup. And you will, of course, go on with your life. You will leave this environment. I don't know how long this is still going to. Where are you? In the middle, I think, isn't it, Ananta Gauranga?
Yeah, we're about right in the middle.
Right in the middle. So it's another 2 weeks to go. But then you will go home. And it's then when the test really comes. Will you continue kirtan or not? I would really, if I would be you, make a plan while you're there how you can continue. One very simple way, which I always recommend, and those who I recommend it to have always been very grateful, is there is this amazing, I believe it's a web page. It's called Radhadesh Mellows. Is it a web page or what is it? I'm so out of...
Yeah, it's a website.
A website, okay. Where you can download first-class kirtans, and you can have them when you drive in a car, or you can have them with your MP3. devices with a headphone, and you can stay in the atmosphere of kirtan. That is something that is very easy, and there are really excellent kirtan in terms of those who sing them. They are really very expert, and but also in the terms of the quality of the recording, you can almost hear every single karatal and so on. So that is something you can easily do. That's the easiest thing everyone can really do. Another thing I suggest to you is try to make a plan to come to kirtan events, either in your immediate environment, I hope that you live where there are kirtans taking place, or you can make a plan to come, for instance, to the live Radha Deshmelos. Then you will know how many people fit into this hall. It's a crazy number of people can find place. This is, I think, amongst all the other things which happened there, it's an interesting education about the usage of space, because it's very, very full there. But what I really would love to suggest as my prime tip, try to have an instrument, kirtan instrument, if only a pair of kartals. I have personally not graduated from karatals. I know a little medanga. I can accompany on medanga. Gokrishna tells me I have a good timing, and he should be knowing, but my variety of beats is negligible. It is and experience. But this I have always with me, and you can sit somewhere and sing. I believe the kirtaniya is born when he sings kirtan. You know, that's how you learn to do it, and you can do that at home. And if you are a little courageous, I can also imagine you can invite people to come to your house and sing kirtan. You may not give them the entire spiritual background at first, but you can say, let's sing some mantras here. You can introduce them. Whatever, somehow continue singing kirtan at your own leisure. That will be very good for you. So I wish you all the best. Another wonderful time in Radha Desh. I have a secret tip for you. There are these wonderful preparations in the bakery. I think they are called buns. If you are there, they are also affordable. They're not so expensive. They are really wonderful. When you are hungry, you please try one out. One Radha Desh bun. It is a very memorable experience. I wish you all the best and hope to see you somewhere, and have a wonderful time, and Hari Bol.